Welcome back to Mooney here with Angus McInerney. Now, have you ever thought that the vacant warehouse or the old school at the end of your road could be put to better use? Wouldn't a beautiful mural or an installation of light brighten it all up? Maybe you're a member of a community group that pays a pretty hefty rent for your meeting spaces and you'd much rather be able to kind of, I don't know, revamp that empty building. And in Ireland nowadays, when property is making millionaires of so many, what are the implications for free public spaces and how can we best use them? These are very much the concerns close to the heart of Seomra Spree, which is a Dublin-based collective, and it's committed to creating more communal public service spaces that individuals and groups can use according to their needs, but whether it's for community events or cinema, art or indeed music. And to consider these concerns, I'm joined today on the phone by one of the collective's members, who's Mark Malone, and from our Brussels studio by Andrew McElroy, who's a writer, a cultural policy expert and indeed a project manager. Mark and Andrew, welcome both.
Hi there, Angus. Thanks very much for having us.
Good. Mark, first of all, Seomra Spree has been in operation for about 3 years now. Why exactly did you set it up?
I guess the initial idea came from a response from our own kind of needs to actually find a space where we could have meetings, kind of organised, kind of creative events from and stuff like this. I guess people had different kind of trajectories. Some people came from Dublin Grassroots Network, which was a network that organised the May Day protest in 2004. Other people come from more art kind of background. So it's a pretty kind of loose collective, but all kind of responding to our needs. So I guess one of the first events where we actually hosted was in a community centre in Francis Street, St. Nicholas O'Mara Hall, with the idea of actually hosting an event discussing and exploring the idea of setting up a social centre. And the response to that was really positive, which is quite good for the small collective there. So since then, the project's kind of been moving on and creating a lot of steam.
And have you ended up with kind of a chairperson and a treasurer and a first committee person, and, you know, is it all hung up on bureaucracy?
Not at all. I mean, certainly what we aim to be is a kind of, it's an autonomous space. It's a self-managed social centre, which means it's kind of run on anarchist principles, even though it's not necessarily a space for anarchists solely. It's about the idea of collectively organising. So, no, we wouldn't have treasurers or chairpersons. We have no fixed roles. What we do is realise that, like, there's a certain amount of skills that are around, so we'd break into working groups, but those groups rotate, so the skills are learnt, and it kind of feeds back into the collective all the time. Everything's quite public, everything's quite transparent, so, yeah. Basically, we're trying to break away from the old roles of hierarchy and expertise.
And you use the word anarchist in the kind of broad sense, just in terms of a philosophy rather than a kind of an aggressive way of going on.
I think there's obviously a lot of media misinterpretation of what anarchism actually means, but that's a different discussion, I'd imagine, entirely.
Sure. So listen, there are an awful lot of empty buildings in Dublin, and people feel that perhaps it's culturally unacceptable that these buildings would be used as public spaces. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that it's culturally unacceptable. I think we're so much ingrained in the idea of protection of property, and everyone has this right to make so much money. But I think that these also, the group is and the collective is to challenge the kind of assumptions and to socially reimagine ourselves differently than just assuming that, like, someone can have a building for 30 years, whereas if someone's living in the street, they try to go in and get it, you know, stay the night, they get turfed out by the cops quite physically and violently. How the society's kind of structured is basically protects those who have a lot of wealth, essentially.
Andrew McElroy, as a writer, as a cultural policy expert, as a project manager, you've been listening there to Mark Malone. What do you make of Seomra Spree's vision, and how practical do you think it is?
Well, I'm very supportive of anything that enables local people to take back a bit of ownership of property and space, especially in cities like Dublin or Brussels or Belfast, which I know well, where you're sort of losing any sense of shared or common environment. I mean, the thing is nowadays, basically, you don't own property unless you physically own it, and I think that's a great shame. Actually, there should be spaces where your ability to go there isn't predicated on whether or not you've got €500,000 to be able to buy it for yourself. So I have thumbs up and say it's great stuff they're doing.
Any examples of the kind of work that you've seen over the years? I'm thinking of people like John Kindness.
Well, it's interesting. I think what we see nowadays is most big cities are kind of being privatised to people who can actually afford to own environments. And yet really successful cities have kind of open shared spaces. And great artists, like I think John Kindness is, who's got some wonderful pieces up around the river in Belfast, up around the Lagan, manage to create spaces that people actually feel they've got some bit of ownership of. I mean, it might actually belong, it might, you know, be part of a banking complex, it might be part of some other big development. But local local people have contributed to it. And I'd advise anyone who's up around Belfast to go and look at things like John Kynes's Fish, which is a very nice piece, now I think 15, 16 years old, up on the Lagan side. And it's the kind of space where you want to go. Well, I was listening to the thing about the Ivy Gardens. You know, brilliant, this idea about places that are free and open to the public. We don't have enough of them.
Yeah. And go on, Mark.
Yeah, I would just come in there. I think the idea of the idea of privatisation is actually crucially important. But privatisation doesn't happen in a kind of vacuum. Privatisation happens through the destruction and the decay of existing communities. So it's quite an aggressive form of enclosing common spaces and enclosing public spaces. And also, it's also totally tied in with the rollback of the welfare state and the sort of progressive social gains that have been made historically over this past 150 years. So, I mean, the privatisation and the sort of move of capitalism is actually, that's where the aggression comes from. And it's really visible when people try to challenge that assumption and actually physically try to do something about it, that very often you come up against opposition. I mean, certainly in Ireland, there's many, many cases. One of the most prevalent and well-voiced the cases at the minute would perhaps be the local community in Rossport, currently under the guise of Shell and state itself imposing its will, which is leading to, you know, long-term destruction of the community, both physically as they're removed off the streets as their protest, but sort of in the long-term basis from the environmental concerns. So I think when people at a grassroots level attempt to address this in a meaningful way, as opposed to a kind of symbolic and superficial way in terms of like particular projects, that's where you see the fault line lies.
If sure. I just think, though, I remember one of the first items we did on the Mooney programme way back in September, or in October when we came on air. I'm thinking of a situation where you have a piece of art which is commissioned and the professional artist thinks it's wonderful, but the actual councillors in a local area, I'm thinking of in Wexford and indeed the people there, would hate it. There was a piece which was on the quay front there, and it enraged the public officials and the Wexford County Council or whatever, and there was a huge negative reaction to that. How do both of you react to something like that?
Well, I've got quite a strong position there, and I know the Andrew. I know the piece you're talking about. It's by an artist called I think Marco De Sardo.
Marco De Sardo, yeah.
One of the things, but I mean, I have no patience with local councillors and these issues whatsoever. I mean, my point of view is, you know, if they're professionals in terms of art, then they maybe shouldn't be local councillors, and they're not going to artists, for example, to ask them for their opinion on things like land sale, land use, or water quality, for example. You know, if they were asking artists about water quality, maybe people in Galway wouldn't be having cryptosporidium on their toast in the morning. I think local councillors aren't necessarily the people I would trust to say that's a good piece of art or not. I think local people should be asked their point of view.
Exactly.
But I'm not sure if Mark and I'd agree totally whether or not local people should have the final say.
What do you think, Mark? Should the local area, local people, the local population be the arbiters of what would or wouldn't happen in art terms?
In terms of art, I imagine that obviously the sort of consultation process that this country's quite used to is quite vacuous. But I would assume that, who's deciding that the art goes there in the first place, I guess. And I mean, I would imagine that if the desire actually came from the community itself as opposed to a top-down, you know, somebody in the hierarchy thought it's quite useful and quite wonderful if we have this piece of art in the community, that's a different kind of thing. So if the initial idea comes from the community, then I guess, of course, that's
Mark, can you stay with us because we need to go to a break and have the news? Are you okay? I know you're in Brussels there. Hopefully you can stay in the studio for a few minutes longer. I'm talking to Mark Malone and Andrew McElroy, and we're talking about art in public spaces, the whole notion of this Esprit group which has been set up. If you have a comment on it, please give us a shout on 1850 715 900, or you can text 51551, or if you'd like to email, it's mooney@rte.ie. We'll take a break. Now, I'm talking to Andrew McElroy, who's in our Brussels studios. Andrew is a writer and a culture policy expert and a project manager, and also to Mark Malone. And Mark Malone is involved in a group called Chambre Esprit, who are campaigning for, I suppose, the better use of open spaces and an awful lot of buildings in Ireland and across the world not being used, property developers holding on to them. Thank you both, gentlemen, for holding on through the news and the sport. Mark, in terms of, I'm just thinking of open spaces and civic spaces. Do you feel that if you get a building in the middle of Dublin that's not being used at the moment. I'm thinking of this Dennis O'Brien has one major one, I think, down by the canal. Are you saying that should be used in its totality as a civic space for anybody who wants to use it?
But that's certainly one option. I think it's kind of like, it's ridiculous. The buildings can lie in decay for 30 years while someone's sitting to make a massive profit on it just so they can keep it, whilst like there's so many social benefits that come from that. So I think that's probably a good analysis that could be used, yeah.
And in European terms, from your experience, what other places could you show and hold up as towering examples of good civic spaces being used?
Well, I mean, good civic spaces, I mean, the defines what you mean by good civic spaces, I guess, spaces that are used for the public good and, you know, directed towards meaningful progressive change within society. Certainly flourishing across Europe, you had in the sort of 70s autonomous social centres right across Italy, Milan, Rome, Bologna, in Barcelona, north of Spain, also Germany and Berlin, large amounts of social centres that added sort of directly, direct democracy and kind of self-managed resources that were made available to the public.
Andrew, your favourite ones?
Well, actually, I'll give one a little bit closer to home there, Angus, which is Belfast City Hall, which is not a building you refer to in terms of a great civic space very often, but I think it's interesting to see how over the past 4 or 5 years you suddenly have seen people colonising the front of the City Hall. They now use it for Christmas markets. You now see people sitting out there having picnics. You see kids playing statues, to go back to the remark about Ivy Park.
Indeed.
The thing is that these spaces, you see, are places where basically it's not just about shopping. And one of the great difficulties, I think, in, you know, and I'm not looking back to a perfect past, but one of the great difficulties about contemporary cities is the only thing you do in public is you shop. And I think that's a great shame, because actually there's lots of things you can do in public. You know, you can chat, you can meet people, you can watch, you can eat, you can, there's a whole variety of activities. We're not just retail centres. Our cities shouldn't just be retail centres.
Well, but there should be. I mean, just when you flag that up, it's like you have the recent development in Dundrum, which is called Dundrum Town Centre. Now, if, you know, a couple of us went out like last year to have a picnic in Dundrum Town Centre and were forcibly removed by the guards. Yes. You know, see, this notion of like actually the civic spaces are rest spots in between shopping rather than being able to do anything creative, proactive outside that shopping.
Well, fairness to Dundrum, they have put in a very nice theatre there, and they've got water features and they've got relaxation areas, and they've tried to make it.
And this all costs money. I mean, relaxation areas away from the stress of shopping is not a relaxation area. It's an antidote to a problem they've created themselves.
This great idea of picnics as a revolutionary gesture, I support that 100%, because the whole point about these spaces is you shouldn't have to pay a penny to go in them or to use them. Just one little thing, however,
I think
at the best of these spaces, I mean, I fully support Mark and I fully support the project he's doing, but I do think that there is a need, and I see for organisations like his, a bit of a need at some stage to have professionals who play some role, even if it's a voluntary role, in helping them to have the right kind of conversations. Because the people you're dealing with, developers, for example, the people who eat babies for breakfast, these people need a very strong voice in front of them, and very often the local community isn't actually, you know, set up for that.
Andrew, quite funny to hear the property developers, it's usually the anarchists that are accused of eating babies, but yeah, that's quite good.
Andrew, you've advised on many different projects over the years. What would your advice be to Mark and all of the Shomersbury people in terms of the, I don't know, the challenges for them in the future, how they want to best go forward with their ideology?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is that, yes, and they've got this, which is local people involved in the discussions. I think that's the most important thing. And then the second thing is, I think, to have projects that they can actually bring to conclusion. In other words, I don't know if I would take on a huge building on the quayside that's X thousand square metres. I think I'd prefer to work in stuff that's small enough for me to have an immediate impact. And the third thing I would say is, don't get hung up on permanent things. Do things that maybe are lasting 6 months or 8 months or a year, and then move on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we certainly learned from this experience. The space we have now is actually the largest space. We've started off with smaller rooms and you know, a larger room, and now we actually have a building. So I think we've kind of learned a lot along the way in terms of how to utilise the space. And also the space is there to be used. I mean, if people are interested in it, there's also our website, which is shomersbury.org, which is SEOMRASPRAOI.org. Just had to get that in there. But yeah, I mean, the spaces are to be used as well.
Finally, to both of you, should there be some legal limit on the amount of time a major building can be left unattended?
For sure. I mean, I would go so far as to say that, like, people should have squatting rights after, say, for example, a year or 2 years. If somebody's letting the building lie like this, it's ridiculous. It needs to be challenged. It needs to be challenged totally.
Mark Malone, a member of Shomersbury Collective here in Dublin, and from our Brussels studios, Andrew McElroy, writer, cultural policy expert, and indeed project manager. Thank you both very, very much. If you go to rte.ie/Mooney, you'll find links to both projects from our website. And just as a matter of interest, in his capacity as a writer, Andrew McElroy's short story Osama in China is one of this year's selected entries for the Francis McManus Awards, which you'll be able to download from rte.ie/Francis McManus. Thank you both very much.